Well, again, it's a pleasure to be here. Good news about Pastor feeling good enough to be home already. That's a great answer to prayer. And we just keep praying that for a quick recovery. Yeah. This evening, I'd like to look at, last week we talked about being hopeful and what the Bible says about that. And today I want to look at being fruitful as a believer, as a Christian. And God wants us to be fruitful, and we'll talk about what that means. But let's look and turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And then he says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So the Apostle Paul here, he's talking to the church at Colossae there, and he challenges them to be fruitful. To be fruitful. It's a call to the church to be fruitful, to be productive. God has allowed us here when God saves us, if you notice, he just doesn't take us to heaven once we get saved. There's a reason for that, right? So there's a purpose for us, God's purpose, God's will, God's journey, God's calling on our life that we could fulfill here on earth. Part of that is being fruitful. We need to be fruitful. And we're saved. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. We understand we're not saved by works. But the Bible makes it very clear that because we're saved, we ought to produce works, right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. But then he goes on to say in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, for we are his what? Workmanship. Yeah, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So again, just make it clear. I know this is elementary, but it's just a reminder. God has a purpose for us, and he has a plan for us that we ought to accomplish, and that's being fruitful. We're saved. We've been left here for a purpose, and as Paul's encouraging the church there in Colossae to be fruitful. Okay, you're saved, you're a church, and now you have responsibility as a church. You're saved, you're a Christian, you're an individual, and you have a responsibility to fulfill your vocation, your calling, your whatever it is. And of course, we know there's general callings and then there's specific callings on individuals' lives. And so today's message is how to have a fruitful life. How sad it is to get saved and then you stop there and never fulfill, never be fruitful as a believer. It's just not good. It's not the way God intended it to be. Let's pray again. Father in heaven, Lord, again, we're thankful. Would you help me today be a communicator of your word? May you meet needs today. I know you, we testified today of how you're good to us and you give us blessings and you answer our prayer. You provide for us and you do all that so that we could be fruitful and that we could fulfill the calling on our lives that you've called us to. And I pray that even as we open up the word tonight, that you would teach us and encourage us and just be a blessing to us, Lord. Help me to be a good communicator to everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, Ephesians chapter 2:8, we are his workmanship created unto good works. So what does fruitful mean? What does the dictionary say? Conducive to productivity. So to produce, causing to bear an abundance. So we ought to be fruitful, pretty much, productive, causing to bear abundance. The word fruit is often used figuratively in scripture. So he uses that word fruitful. Does that mean we go produce fruit? Well, it could mean a lot of things, that fruit. And we'll talk about what he's talking about. What does that mean for us? And so, number one, it might mean the Bible talks about being fruitful to multiply, having kids. As Christians, we ought to have children and produce and bring those children up in the Lord. And that's how we get the heritage and the godly heritage. You're talking about your father, that, you know, here you are, you're in church and your kids are in church. And that's the way it should be. Be fruitful and productive. Offspring, that's what it's talking about. But there's a whole lot of other things it talks about. So we also know that that word fruit could be consequences. The law of the harvest, what you plant is what you produce. What I plant is what's going to come out. So that's the consequences for my actions, whether good or whether bad. There's always feedback. And so we need to be careful to be fruitful in our actions. The Bible puts it this way in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 31. It says, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And then in Proverbs 31:16, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth the vineyard. So it's talking about work. It's talking about what you put into something is what you're going to get out of it. And what I do is what is going to produce. What I plant is going to produce. So he's also talking about our actions, what we do. We ought to be fruitful. There's consequences for our actions. Jeremiah 17:10 says this, I, the Lord, search the heart, try the reins, even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doings. So good or bad, we need to, of course, as Christians, do good. You remember the verse, we're his workmanship, and we ought to be fruitful in our actions. Are you fruitful in your actions? Again, it could mean a whole lot of things here, and we talked about somebody working in the field and what they work, how hard they work is what they're going to get out of it. And we could look at it as that. As a Christian, we work for the Lord. We all, as if you're employed by somebody, or even if you're self-employed, we ought to work for the Lord. We ought to not work for our just their physical boss there, but we have a spiritual calling, and we need to be fruitful. We need to work hard as Christians, and we need to be that person in the community that is fruitful, is doing something good, and people would recognize that, and they could look at your life and say, they're a Christian. So we ought to be fruitful. Yeah. fruitful in our actions. And we need to be careful about our words too. I'm talking to myself today, but we need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. And so many of the things that we say, are they worth saying? Should I even say that? If you don't have anything good to say, do you remember that? Don't say it at all. I don't practice that quite a bit, but we ought to just be careful about what comes out of our mouth. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14 says, a man shall be satisfied by the fruits of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. So again, our mouth should be used for good. And he's even saying, if you say good things, and if you're able to speak, and if you're able to talk, and if you're able to do those things, it ought to be fruitful. Not in the sense of, well, everything we say and do should be glorifying to God and honoring to God. So our words are important. Oftentimes I'll think about, you know, as a preacher, sometimes you admire preachers and you look to preachers. We all do. We ought to, at least. And we'll say, man, that's a great preacher. Man, he's just a good communicator. Boy, I just get so much out of his messages. And so that person there is being fruitful for the Lord. But it's not just the preacher. It's all of us that could be fruitful. We could be that person that y'all know, that person in your life where you spend time with them. And it's like when you're done spending time with them, you're all wore out and beat up because everything's negative, you know, and you're kind of just, man, that was kind of wasted time. It shouldn't be that with you. You should be that person that's encouraging, that's uplifting, and uses his words wisely. And God says he will reward you for that. You'll be satisfied. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And so God will provide for you. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So this is the scripture saying in Proverbs 18:20, man, he says, I'll take care of you if you use those words wisely. That's a promise of God. So again, we talked about being fruitful as offspring, children, being fruitful in our ways we make decisions and how hard we work and the things that what we put into something, we'll get out of it. And so we need to produce. We need to be out there. We need to be doing those good things. And he also talks about when we do those bad things, there's going to be some consequences. So we understand that too. There's consequences. There's bad fruit and or no fruit. And when there's bad choices. And then we get to the words that we use, the things that we say. I try always to be a blessing and encouragement. Of course, when you're a missionary and you're in different churches and you're asked to present your ministry and you're often asked to preach, and even when I come here, my goal is to be an encouragement, to be a blessing, you ought not come to church and just feel like, oh man, I just got whatever, beat up or whatever, and you know, but we need to be an encouragement, and we can. And we ought to, because God is encouraging, God is good, God is faithful, God is there for us, and we need to get that message out. Of course, there's times for instruction. You teach the whole counsel of God, and God needs to correct us sometimes, and we need to preach it all. But it's good, and God will bless us, and we need to use our mouth wisely and be fruitful in our speech. The Bible says this in Hebrews 13 verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So God wants us to be fruitful. And you know what he says? Give praise. And the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So we should, that's that man, being thankful, being grateful, being encourager, not being the bearer of bad news or just down and out. And we need to be giving praise to God. And we know we're not going to get into that tonight, but we need to be thankful for everything. There's always something to be thankful for. And when we look at the cup, we need to look at it, you know, half full rather than half empty. And so many of us look at it as half empty all the time. We look at our life like that. So we need to have conversations that are encouraging, uplifting. I get it. Sometimes there's a time for just being able to vent, and that's okay. But it shouldn't be all the time. That's what I'm saying. We need to be, use our conversation wisely. So that word fruitful, you know, has a lot of different meanings. And the scripture reminds us those different meanings. The word is used spiritually in scripture. Also, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 30 says this, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So part of being fruitful is telling others about Jesus Christ. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. Yeah. And as we need to be conscious of that, because we could easily slip into a mode where everybody around me is a Christian. That's all I know is Christians. You're never, very rarely you're around unbelievers. And I get that. And that's the way our kids, we're homeschool, we spend a lot of time in church, and we're rarely out in the world. But we need to be productive. And part of being fruitful is telling people about Jesus Christ. And we need to figure it out how we could do that. Churches sometimes have a day when they go on visitation. And if that's what you need, then you do that. But don't ever get into that mode where you're never trying to reach people for Christ. And it could easily happen. And we could think we're okay, but God wants us to be, outwardly. The outer fruit of the Christian is evangelism. Fruitful. How's the church gonna grow? Your neighbors are gonna come to Christ? The Mormons are not going to reach him for Christ. The Jehovah Witnesses are not going to reach him for Christ. But they have an evangelism program. And we as Christians ought not to forget, we need to have some type of an evangelism program. And so we need to, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. A church will die if it doesn't have fruit. And I've been there. I've been to many churches. And I've seen churches, boy, on their last leg. Why? I know every church has a different way of doing things, and every church has, but I understand from scripture, we need to be winning people to Christ. Whether it's through missions, or whether through a soul winning program, or a bus route, or whether it's just handing out a track at the Fred Meyers or whatever. We ought not lose that. God wants us to be fruitful. And let me just say this, especially in I've seen this, and I'm not talking about this church or anything. I'm just talking in general. I've been in a lot of churches. And the churches that I'm in are independent fundamental Baptist churches. And what I've seen, and I've kind of, man, it just, maybe it's my heart of as an evangelist or something, but I'll hear a wonderful message. And God will move me, and I'll be sitting in that pew. And then you just wrap it up and close in prayer and never give an invitation. Oh, we need to be careful. If there's kids in the church or whatever, the pastor knows his people and he knows who's saved, but I know. You never know. You never know how God will be dealing with the person. And maybe it's their time to get saved, but if you never close the deal will never be closed. I'm not saying soul winning is a business deal, but you know what I'm getting at. We need to give an opportunity. You ought not to have a vacation Bible school and invite kids and never give an opportunity for kids to be saved. That might be the time that they're going to get saved, and it might be the only day that they might be there. We ought not pass up those opportunities. We're a church. That's what we're in the business for. And sometimes we forget what we're in the business for. And I'm just wanting to remind us never, and I'm not talking about a church, and we need to be careful even personally. Oh, they're saved. I know they're saved, but you don't know. These kids are growing up and they're in different stages, and just because they repeated a prayer at age 3 and they didn't maybe even understand it, but they did it because you told them to do it. And but how sad it would be if that child is not saved and they think they're saved because their mom and dad told them they're saved, but they never were saved. And then the invitation's never given to them any more time in their life to be saved. And it happens to adults. There might be a time where the Holy Spirit's working, and we need to remind ourselves and not be ignorant to the fact that, hey, people need to get saved. And unless they get saved, they're not saved. That's what I'm trying to say. And we as a church, we're in the business of telling people about how to know Christ. Romans chapter 1 verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I supposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the Gentiles. So he's talking about fruit, people who he's led to the Lord. Now I get it. We don't lead anybody to the, I don't save anybody. You don't save anybody. We're just the messengers. But we need to be the messengers. That's what I'm saying. We need to be the messengers. He's called us to be the messengers. So let's be the messengers. But if we never give the message out, chances are nobody's going to get saved. So let's not forget that. Being fruitful, and the Apostle Paul was talking to the church there in Colossae, and he's talking about being fruitful. Yes, you need to have kids. Yes, you need to be careful the words that come out of your mouth. They need to be fruitful. And we need to, yes, we need to use these things in a spiritual sense too, is we need to let the outer fruit of a Christian, the evangelism, take place also. So let's be fruitful. We need to be fruitful. And you know what a dead church is a church that's not fruitful. There's nothing happening. It's dead. It's just, you're just there. It just becomes a building. Or it comes a place where you come and you just get stuffed with the word of God, but it doesn't get used. Be careful. Man, you have all this head knowledge and you could get on the social media and you could argue the points of the Bible and this and that and all that foolishness stuff that's not fruitful. Right. Just because you know something. But if you're not using it for the Lord and if you're not reaching the soul, then what good is it? It's not no fruit to nobody. Now, I'm not, there's, I don't have any, I'm not speaking to anybody here. I'm just preaching today. And we need to be careful to keep the main thing, the main thing. Let me get to the next point. Yeah, so let's be careful. If we're going to do something, we need to do it with the intention of getting the gospel out. You could go feed somebody all day and be, go build them something or go, you know, give them something or whatever. But if you never get the gospel in, we need to remember the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing.
That's good preaching.
Amen. And then the outer, we talked about the outer, now the inner. Christ-like. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. So we need to be Christ-like. And when we're Christ-like and when we're allowing the Holy Spirit work through us, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Are you fruitful? Are you letting the Holy Spirit work in your life? When people see you, do they see love? Do they see joy? Do they see peace? Do they see long suffering? Do they see gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? That's the fruit of the Spirit. So we ought to be fruitful. Is the Spirit working through you? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you? And when He works in you, you're going to be Christ-like. So we need to kind of look in the mirror and say, hey, if the fruit is not there and if the Holy Spirit is not being allowed to be fruitful in my life, am I even saved? That's between you and God. But I'm just kind of making us think a little bit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance. We ought to be fruitful. Christ-like. So the word is used in a spiritual sense, and the scripture says, hey, the outward, let's think about others, let's keep the main thing the main thing, and then the inner, let's be right with God. Revival starts within us. And revival starts with allowing the Holy Spirit be what the Holy Spirit needs to be in our life. But we do a lot of work to quench that Holy Spirit a lot of times. So we're not fruitful. We're not producing the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our life. And then it gets back to our testimony. What is your testimony? What is my testimony? What do people think of you? Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 and 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be what? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth what? Fruit. In his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. So how do we get fruitful here, and how do we prosper here? We're godly. We cut that sinful account real short. We don't sit in the seat of the scornful, but our delight is in God. Our delight is in his word. And we're in his word, and you're going to naturally be a good testimony. Proverbs 12:12 says this, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. We need to be fruitful in the way our testimony is, what people think about us. I get it. I understand not everybody's going to like you, but they should not like you because of your stand for Christ. And it kind of rubs them wrong. But they shouldn't dislike you because you're rude and crude and you're just a bad person. But yet you're a Christian. Yeah. That's not a testimony. Okay. And whether you're at work, some of us are, I hope not. I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd and you guys are faithful and you're servants and you're here and you're the workers and you're the doing the things. And this probably doesn't apply to any of us or you here. It applies to me a little bit here. I'm reminding myself what I need to do. But, we need to yield fruit. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness by which by Christ Jesus unto the glory and praise of God. So again, we remind ourselves, let's be that fruit at work, at school, and to our neighbors. Where we go, we need to be fruitful. And people, you heard it many a times, that sometimes the only Bible anybody will ever read is they'll look at you and your testimony. And they'll decide whether they want God or not because of our testimony. And it's true. It's true. Sometimes the hardest people to win to the Lord is our own family members. And sometimes, I hope it's not the case, sometimes it's because they know us best. And they don't want what we have because they know who we are. Oh, how dare we do that? We're going to give an account. We ought to be fruitful. We ought to have a testimony. Again, I remind us, we need to be fruitful. The Apostle Paul was challenging the church at Colossae to be fruitful, being confident in this very thing. He that which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, he hasn't come yet. He hasn't taken you up to heaven yet. And until then, we ought to produce. We ought to be fruitful. We ought to be fruitful. We need to be Christ-like. We need to have a testimony. We need to try to be the messenger of the gospel and do that. And our word and our spirituality and all those things as Christians we're called to do until he comes. Occupy until he comes. The night cometh when no man can work. And while we're here and while we're breathing, we could do something. Not all of you could go to the prison and go and do what I do. Not all of you could go and maybe even walk up and down the hills and pass out tracts. But we all could do something. So God has called us. And he's saying, I want you to be fruitful. I challenge you to be fruitful and take heed to the fact that the very reason that he left us here on earth is to be fruitful. Be fruitful. We have to, again, remind ourselves, I have a job to do. I have a testimony. So, a fruitful life is built on God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom. Where do we get God's wisdom? From the Word of God. The Bible says this in James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we need wisdom. We need God. You can't do it on your own. You need God's wisdom. We need to be in the Word of God, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to be what He is in us. I know it sounds kind of corny, but the truth is we're the hands and feet of Christ. That's the truth. We are the ones that ought to be fruitful. God wants to accomplish something. There's people that you will reach that nobody else could reach. But if you're not in your place, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you didn't surrender to God, that job won't be done. So we need to, again, be fruitful as Christians. Living life from God's perspective. Oh, I'm caught up in it too. I'm in this world and I always think about, oh, how we're going to pay the bills, what we could buy and what we can't buy and what I want to get and what I can't get. And man, I really want this. And man, I'm going to get this. And or, you know, we get all this thing and how am I going to do it? And what do I need to do? How many hours do I need to work this? Or what do I need to do to get that? And that's natural. But again, as Christians, we need to remind ourselves we belong to the King. We're His. And we need to think like He does. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we need to fear God in the sense of we need to be in awe of God. We need to be godly people. We need to be thinking like God thinks. We need to see things from a spiritual perspective. Christ-like. We need to think like that. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Again, just being under the Word, being under the authority of the Word of God, being in church, being the learning and growing and figuring out what God wants for our life. And it's not just, it's a continual process. It's not just something you do once a year. It's something you do on a regular basis. I was telling the kids this week, I says, you know what? You need to get up in the juvenile detention center. I was saying, every day you need to get up and it's a new day and you need to ask God, order my steps, Lord. Tell me what I should do and where I should go, how I should talk and how I should act and make those wise decisions. It's a daily thing every morning. Not just when you get out. Not just when you graduate or not just when you start a family. You need to start now, today, because it's a continual thing. And we need to think like God thinks. Living life from God's perspective. Knowing what He wants. And understanding what He wants. So it's a fruitful life is built on God's wisdom. Wisdom is seeing living life from God's perspective. And we talked about that. So the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. Don't be fools. Brother Rick, don't be a fool. Proverbs 15:7, the lips of wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. So again, if you're going to, again, use your words wisely, we ought not to be foolish. Again, I like to have fun. I like to joke, and I like to joke sometimes too much. But again, I don't think there's too much wrong with that. But you need to be careful. Because the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Proverbs 14:1. The Psalm of David, the fool that said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Again, we need to not be foolish. And again, the fool that we're talking about here is the unbeliever. So remind ourselves that, let's be fruitful. Let's produce. And let's do the things that God has called us to do. So, a fruitful life seeks not to sin. What is the sin in your life? What is that thing that you just kind of keep going back to? And we need to be careful because it'll just suck us in. It'll take away the fruit of the Spirit, or we won't be productive as Christians. And we need to be careful. Proverbs chapter 10 says this, the labor of the righteousness tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked to sin. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. So we need to be tenteth to life, tend to life, be working at doing the things that God wants us to do. The fruit of the wicked is to sin. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. We need to stay away from sin. Don't get caught up. Don't get entangled, because it'll drag you down. It'll make you miserable, and it will affect your testimony. As a righteous tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. So sin is doing what we should, sin is doing what we should not do. Don't do those things you shouldn't do. We need to work constantly on learning and growing and being in the Word of God and keeping those accounts short with God and working constantly at just doing what God wants. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So again, everybody's a sinner. I get it. And we fall short. And again, when sin gets in and seeps in, it pulls us away from God. And it's a sad, sad thing to be out of the will of God. I was reading this week and I was hearing, I was in prison on Sunday and I was at Columbia River. And actually, some of you know Sid Stone, he's preached here. And I was with him there at Columbia River and he preached. Boy, he preached. And he told them it was just as clear as day. And it's a message that every inmate should hear. And maybe everybody should hear. And he was just telling them. He says, you know, some of you, and I totally agree, and I preached too, and I was kind of, we were right tag teaming, and I let them have it too. But we were just talking about, you know, some of you do so well here in prison. You're come here, you're singing, you memorize scripture, you're telling others about Christ, and man, everything's good. You're reading your Bible, you got clean, you're just doing a great job and you're headed out. And they head out of prison and they get out. And we see this so often. And then a month later, maybe 2 months later, maybe 6 months later, we see them back. The statistics tell us when you're in corrections, the Department of the Adult System, DOC, that 50% of everybody that gets out, 50% of them will return. And again, once you're in the system, it's really hard to get out of the system. You're on parole, you're on probation, or whatever they do, and they have a really tight thumb on you. And it's usually not some big thing that gets you out. Something small. They're driving and they don't put their blinker on, or they have a broken light or whatever, and they get pulled over, and then they're either drinking or they're smoking weed or there's something else, and before you know it, you're back. And that's okay. And it's a system, and there's a lot of money in the system. Those ankle bracelets are not cheap, okay, and things like that. So there's a big money business in this thing, and that's just the way it is, and okay. But we're saying, why you go through all this. You've been here for years. You did all your classes. You were away from your family. You're away from your children. You haven't eaten in a fast food place in so many years, and you haven't been able to do this, and you haven't been able to do this. Why do you not just get things right? And it's usually those little things. But he also said it's those little things. If you don't take care of the little things, you're not going to take care of the big things. And of course, we're in prison, and we could get a little bit close to the situation and call out the sin and tell them what the sin is that they get mixed into right away. And some of them have the mentality as, yeah, they could make it in prison, but as soon as you get out, there's some people, they're institutionalized. They get so used to being told what to do, when to get up, what to wear, what to eat, and how to work, and what to do. That's, you get so used to it, you can't live out in the free world where you have to do things on your own, which is a sad, sad thing too. But, again, what I'm getting at is God has a calling. God has a purpose for us. And he'll help us fulfill that purpose. And he'll give us what we need to do that. And we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We have everything that we need to stay right with God and to be fruitful. And whether you're an inmate or whether you're not, you know, we have all the tools that God gives us. But we don't use them. And we think we're going to be okay. And we're not okay. And one day we're going to die, and one day something's going to happen, and we're going to stand before God. And you know, and if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise God and all that stuff. But hey, did you fulfill what he's called you to do? Were you fruitful? Now, none of us, and I know that I haven't done a whole lot like I should. And there's a whole lot of things that I need to work on. There's a whole lot of things that I need to accomplish. And I don't feel like I have accomplished it for God. But again, God, it's not God's fault. It's me. Because he's done so much for me. Me and my wife talk about it all the time. We're so blessed. We don't have to worry about food. I don't have to worry about a place to stay. I don't have to worry about things. I'm not saying that tomorrow will change, but it all could change. But here, we're blessed in America. We have more than we ever deserve. We have abundance. And God is so good for us. And so I say all that because I was thinking about the inmates, and I said, so many of them just throw it all away, and there they're back. They're set back way back again. They lose everything. Why? Because we're not following God. We're not listening to him. We're not praying. We're not in church. We're not reading our Bible. We're not being obedient. We're not heeding to what he wants us to do. And we could be in a church today and we could be in that same situation. We need to take care of those little things. It's those little things that trip us up and keep us from being fruitful. Take care of those little things. God has done so much for us. Just the fact that we're saved, we're forgiven, and we don't have to spend eternity in hell is enough. But then he does so much more. So the least that we can do is be fruitful. Be fruitful. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, that's the first step. We need to trust Christ. We need to get that settled. We need to have the peace of God in our life. Peace with God. And then we could have the peace of God, and then we could be fruitful. Again, I remind you, God has a calling. God has a purpose. God has a journey for you. Whatever age you are, God is not finished with you yet. If he was, he would take you to heaven. But while we're here on earth, there's something we could do. For some of us, it might just be prayer. Maybe you need to get that missionary list and start praying. Maybe you could get some people in the church that say, hey, whatever you want me to pray for, I'll write it down and I promise every day I'll pray. But that's fruitful. We talked about prayer, how important prayer is, and I don't do it enough, but prayer is important. Whatever it is, we can do it, and we ought to do it. Let's be fruitful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, again, we're thankful for today. I thank you for your word and the reminder that you've given us to be fruitful. Every one of us has a purpose. And I know these people, a lot of them, not very well, but I know some of them, they're really fulfilling their purpose. And I'm sure others are doing it too. And that I don't know about. But that's not up to me. It's up to you. And I just want to encourage you today that God hasn't forgotten about you tonight. He's called you and he saved you for a reason. And I'm not expecting you to do all these things that we talked about, but you need to do what God has called you to do. And whatever it is, let's attempt to do it. You can't do what I do and I can't do what you do. But we need to do what we've been given the task to do and be fruitful at it, productive, and help us to be that. And Lord, I pray again, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, that they would come to know you. Maybe you're here tonight and say, Brother Rick, I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure if I have forgiveness of sin, and I would like to get that taken care of. Would you pray for me, Brother Rick? Is anybody here like that? Would you let me know by raising a hand? Maybe you're here and you're a Christian. You say, Brother Rick, I heard God spoke to me today and I need to work on some things. And I hope you do. And I pray that you would. There's a world that's going to hell real quick, really fast. Maybe Jesus is coming back real soon, maybe even tonight. But are we doing what you called us to do until then? Help us to do that. Help me. Help me to be in my place. Help me to occupy. Help us to be where we need to be and do what we need to do. Help us to have that testimony. Help us to be that fruitful person that you called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you.